News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
We're joined now by Anne O'Connor, Chief Operations Officer at the HSE. Good morning to you, Anne. Obviously, Shane and I and everybody else in the country discussing what should happen next week. For starters, tell us how close to being overwhelmed in any way are our hospitals?
Good morning, Ciara. Our hospitals are very busy. We've seen a very significant increase in the number of people attending our emergency departments. Really, it's been growing, I think, since COVID started to ease back. But certainly the activity is far in excess of what we saw in 2020, but also much higher than 2019. What we're seeing also in recent weeks is higher numbers of people being admitted to the hospital, which tells us that people are sicker. We're seeing frailer people coming through. And really, we know that people, particularly older people, when they're admitted, will be there for longer. So our beds are really in full use. I think when we look at our system last night, we had just under 100 available beds. Now, that's out of nearly 12,000 acute hospital beds around the country. So that tells us that really we're working flat out. Now, we are doing, I suppose, two different types of things in our hospitals. We have our emergency departments, which are very busy, but equally we're bringing people in for elective procedures, really to provide a lot of that much needed care that was deferred during COVID and during the cyber attack. So we're really very busy. Some sites, particularly some of our big Model 4 sites, and I mean Galway, Limerick, Cork, have very significant numbers attending their emergency departments. They're about 25% higher than they were in 2019. So you can appreciate that that's putting a very significant pressure on our services. But, you know, services are working. We are seeing people. And just to reassure people who do attend our emergency departments, they will receive care. But I think, you know, it's only October. Yeah. And we're in the position now where we would often be, this is often a first week in January conversation in terms of just the numbers of people that we are dealing with. Now, it's important to say, Ciara, that we have a lot of other things going on in terms of providing services in the community and doing things in a different way to try and support people to not be in hospital, either to not attend in the first place or to get out of hospital more quickly. So there's a lot of work going on as part of our response to COVID initially, but also now in preparation for winter.
The conversation that you hear people having at the moment is, I don't want to be back in restrictions. You know, we're doing this to protect the health service, which is a shambles. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that's what people out there are saying. To people who say that, is there an answer? I mean, was enough done to bolster capacity within the health service, given we're in a pandemic over the last 18 months?
Yeah, and I mean, I think just to be fair to everybody working, with people working across the health service, that you'll know this yourself in terms of people just working flat out providing care. So I think people have seen a really positive response from the health service in the last 18 months and from all the staff who work there. But in terms of the capacity that has been built, we have built, as part again of the COVID response, we have put in almost 1,000 additional acute hospital beds. We have put in hundreds of community beds. We've also have a whole new arrangement with some nursing homes in terms of private access to beds to have step down, because part of our problem is when people come into hospital, it's very important they can leave hospital when they're medically fit to do so. So it's about having those range of options. And we've been growing that capacity, particularly in our community services. So the answer to many, not all, but to many of the problems in our hospitals relates to having better community services and having beds for people in the community to either avoid admission to an acute hospital or to come out, as I said, more quickly, having more home support. Again, a lot of investment in those things in 2021, and we will continue that this year and next year. Also looking at having different models of care, so having a different approach to people who are kind of older people over 65, but also people with chronic disease. So many of those people would end up in hospital because there aren't other options there, different approaches from our National Ambulance Service. So I think we have been building really a huge amount of capacity across our acute and our community system.
So this isn't all about protecting the health service, the talk of not easing restrictions. There's more to it than that, I think, is what you're saying. Can I ask you, and does the HSE have a view on why cases are surging at the moment? Is it to do with waning immunity? Is it to do with the fact that we test potentially more or more thoroughly with PCRs than other countries?
I think there's a couple of things, and I'm not the expert on some of this, but I know from our own approach, if you look at what we're doing now in terms of rolling out our booster program, so we know that there were many people who were vaccinated back in early January now, So in terms of vaccine breakthrough and that, you know, how much of it is down to that, I don't know, but it's certainly an element of it. And we are now rolling out that booster campaign to people, so to people in nursing homes or long-term residential care, generally over 65, also people over 80 living in the community. And we're doing the third dose for people who are immunocompromised, because, again, we know that there will be people there who have not responded to the vaccine as effectively, and they are getting a third dose of the vaccine. So I think there's a lot of that going on in terms of people just needing additional vaccine cover. It's now 10 months or nearly 10 months since we started the vaccine programme. And that's why we're doing the booster piece. And we await guidance from NIAC in terms of the further extension of the booster programme. In terms of testing, yes, we test a lot. We have about 17,000 tests a day. And we are detecting cases. And the positivity rate at the minute is around 10%. So I think, you know, in terms of our response, it's very comprehensive. And whether that is giving us more test numbers or not, you know, we have to see. I think the concern for us, too, is that we are heading towards potentially a flu season. So we would have people there with other respiratory illnesses now, with other symptoms that will be similar to COVID, and hence people are going for tests as well. Yeah. So I think there's probably a range of factors feeding into this.
And just, you know, I have, I suppose, hypothesised that potentially because other countries use antigen testing, where we use PCR testing, they use them much more widely than we do, that during a course of having COVID, they were probably only getting positive tests for maybe 4 or 5 days during the course of that, whereas we here might get positive tests for up to 2 weeks in any given case. That could account for the reasons that we have multiple cases compared to European countries elsewhere, couldn't it?
Maybe. Again, I'd have to say, Ciara, I'm not the expert on that bit of it. So my job is about running right. services. But I think in terms of testing, I think our testing programme has been very effective. And certainly people, even today, when they register for tests, they will be seen fairly quickly. But in terms of the difference between antigen and PCR, I know that people do use antigen tests here, but certainly our programme relies on PCR, as you said.
OK. On to something slightly different. And at least it's been reported in the Irish Times today, at least 18 intellectually disabled residents of a HSE-run centre in Donegal were subjected to sustained, devastating, it says, sexual abuse during a period of about 13 years. It goes on to say, with the full knowledge of the staff and of management, and that this is accredited to an unpublished investigation. Have a listen to what the independent TD for Donegal, Thomas Pringle, had to say, Anne, when we spoke to him a little bit earlier.
I've been involved with the whistleblower in this case since 2016, trying to have management deal with the issue, and they still continue not to deal with it. And that's the sad part about this, and it's a very sad case, really, that highlights terrible abuse that has taken place.
This is, I'm sure, a devastating story for the families affected. It appears to be the case that one resident, looks like there was sustained abuse by one resident against a large number of other residents, but that management were aware of it and it went on for years. What does the HSE have to say about this?
Yes, I've been reading those articles myself, and I'm aware that Deputy Pringle has been very involved. And as you said there, he raised concerns back in 2016. What happened subsequently was that the HSE did commission a look-back review in 2016 to examine this case. And that concluded that, yes, there had been concerns and that there were certainly incidents that were really of concern. And as you say, it was one person with a profound disability who assaulted other residents in the facility. That review completed in 2017. And at that time, we notified an Garda Síochána. So just in terms of what the HSE did, we actually worked with an Garda Síochána. We commissioned our National Independent Review Panel in 2018. And this is an external review panel that step in to give assurance to the HSE in terms of the adequacy of the HSE response and also to look at governance, etc. And that review panel worked in the area, worked with families, worked with the providers up there, and produced a report in 2020. So that report made a number of recommendations. It was given to us in August of 2020, and we've been working on the implementation of that report since then. Now, the implementation of the report relates to a number of things. So this is, as you'd appreciate, a very complex area
Sure.
in terms of disability services. And there were a number of recommendations there in terms of the establishment of an independently chaired group to oversee the transformation of disability services. And that group has been in place with an independent chair, with family representatives, working to look at how the disability services could be transformed.
That sounds good. But the description in this, it says, I'm not going to get into any of the details because they're not appropriate for the time of day or for radio, but devastating abuse, it's describing sexual abuse. And it goes on to say that the impact on the residents who were abused was not fully understood by the HSE. Should this report not be published? This report highlights all kinds of inadequacies, all kinds of poor governance, and a real worry for people who might have family members in residential settings like this.
Yeah, just a couple of things on that, Ciara. One is to say that actually we have provided a range of support. So to all of the residents affected, they have all received extensive supports in
that
area.
Will the report be published?
We also have the report. At the minute, we are working with the Garda Síochána. They have asked us to not proceed with the publication pending the conclusion. So they're working with the DPP and they've asked us to not proceed with anything at this time.
Look, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Anne. That is Anne O'Connor, their Chief Operations Officer at the HSE.